are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing morning we've already had in your presence. It's evident that you're in the house. It's evident that you're speaking clearly to us. You're ministering to us already. And Lord, just the rattling sound in the spirit realm that's occurring. And Father, we thank you for the supernatural power, the miraculous impartation of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that your spirit has an ability to move in our midst when we are dry, when we are brittle, when we're needing revitalization in our hearts and minds and souls and spirits and relationships. Lord, we praise you, we worship you, that we get to come this morning and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, that you're a good God, that you're a faithful God, that you're a steadfast God, that you're a God who never ceases to amaze us, that all things are made possible in our lives through the power of God, through the inspiration of the Spirit of the living God, and through the love and grace and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today that we won't leave this service unchanged. I pray, Lord, for those circumstances that need a rattling sound today. I pray for those hearts that are in a desolate place today. I pray for those weary, burdensome spirits that need to be uplifted today. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you come in our midst and let the anointing fall, and let the anointing encourage, edify, build up your holy people today. Let victory be in this house, I pray. Let victory cause us to march out today from this service. And Lord, let us be messengers of that hope to others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, looking from verses 1 to 14. And we're going to talk this morning about rattling. And we're in a new sermon series called A Passion for Souls. And I want to talk to you about God rattling our lives and rattling things in the supernatural spirit of God. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. I don't like the valley. I don't know how many do, but that's what he can do, and he will, to catch our attention. And he took us there, and it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you, and you will come to life. Boy, are we in a season, church, where we need to come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for his word. God has a burning passion. He has a burning passion in his soul, in his own heart for the souls of people. And when he chooses to release his supernatural power, it exemplifies his passion for people, his passion for the believer, his passion for the backslidden, and his passion for the unbeliever as well. God has a passion for souls, no matter what state their soul may be in, he has a passion for that person. There's this rattling sound that is presently occurring in the spirit, and God longs to bestow upon his people, whether they're saved, backslidden, or unbelieving. He is saying, I want my people to have new hope. I want my people to experience abundant life. I want my people to have the courage and boldness of God. I want my people to walk in vision. I want my people to have new purpose. I want my people to love me with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want my people to worship me, says the Lord. The word of the Lord is spoken. And he's coming to his people. A month ago, I was attending a minister's meeting out in Greece. And as we had spent quite a bit of time together in prayer and sharing life testimonies, the Lord had inspired my heart with a prophetic word. It was a word that was meant to inspire those who were gathered. And this word was like a double-edged sword. And it cut right through my heart. And the word was about a rattling sound of bones. And it was happening now. It was occurring in the spirit today. The rattling was a loud and violent sound. The rattling represented God's spoken word, a fresh word to the church. It was a sound of a fierce wind and a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God was establishing a new army, a raised up army of those who are presently believers, backslidden believers, and those who yet have not considered themselves a believer. It was a time of revival, and the Spirit was moving in such a way that there was a clattering and a clashing and a war going on in the spirit realm. And God was determined that he was going to win and revival would be in our midst. Sit there, solemn all you want. I said revival is going to be in our midst. Oh, well, Pastor, you talk about revival continuously. Absolutely, yes, I do, because it's still not here. I hear the sound, but it's not here. And it's not because God is waiting. God's been ready. He's waiting for us. He's capable. He's waiting for us. The rattling represented something that was going to happen in the local church. the rattling was going to be those who had kind of gone off the deep end, those who allowed the deception of the enemy and wrong teaching. They were going to be brought in because there was going to be a power in preaching. There was going to be a power behind the gospel. There was going to be a regeneration of heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And he was saying to us, pastors, I want you ready for this season. I want to prepare you now. God was emphasizing that he was about to revitalize and restore and bring revival fire. He was challenging us as leaders not to be intimidated to the Holy Spirit, not to be intimidated when the Word of God comes and it's fresh, not to be intimidated that when the Spirit begins to move in such a different way that we would kind of be timid about it. No, but to be aggressive and to be prepared spiritually for it. When I returned back to Joy that day, I went to my office quietly. I was pretty shaken up. I immediately went to Ezekiel 37. And I began to pray this chapter for Joy Community Church. And I've been praying it since. I've made some drastic changes in my own personal spiritual journey. Things that were lethargic and apathetic within myself, I've asked the Lord's grace in those areas. And there's a new desperateness and hunger that's beginning to grow and swell within my own soul and heart. I've experienced an intense conviction of sin. That's where revival begins. And I've been repenting of things that I wasn't even aware were in my own heart and spirit and soul. Getting right with God. Walking around this sanctuary hours at a time. Crying out for Jesus to meet you, the people of God, in this place. God is serious. I've humbly pleaded with God for his mercy. For my life, for your life, and for the unsaved in this community. God has a passion for souls. It will be through his mercy. It will be through his compassion. It will be through his saving grace. There's a rattling sound happening in the Spirit. I'm believing God for a genuine Holy Ghost revival where the living God gets all the glory. God's passion for souls has ignited my desire to preach an uncompromising gospel. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm not here to take a social stand for justice. I'm here to preach the gospel. That's what I'm here for. Like Ezekiel, I long to see God's hand move upon my life in a new way. And I have prayed that God would place his hand upon your life as well. And not one of you has been overlooked. All of you have been named by name. And his hand is resting today upon you, upon your marriage, upon your families, upon your work environment, and those who live near you. God's hand is on your life. Be his witness and have a passion for souls. Amen? When there's a rattling sound that's caused not by your dryer breaking down, or your car rattling because there's something in the ball bearings or whatever they call them in your wheels. We're not talking that rattling. We're talking about a rattling in the spirit realm. It's an indication that God's supernatural power has been released. Not is about to be released, is released. Can I say to Joy Community Church in faith this morning, as I've heard that sound in the prophetic word, that rattling of the bones and the supernatural power of God is moving now. Thursday night, we had a gathering here, 20 people came, and there was a rattling sound in the spirit, and God gave us words of knowledge, and people came up for healing. There was a guest here, and God wanted to speak to that guest, and God had prayer for that guest. And then there was worship, and then there was the word, and God was moving. It was quiet, but there was a movement, and there was a rattling noise in the hemisphere at Joy Community Church. People are saying, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Why aren't you doing this, Pastor? Why aren't you doing that, Pastor? How come this is in heaven? And I'm saying to you as a church, stand up, make your choice, and come forward and join what's already happening. Are you hearing what I'm saying, Joy? No apologies for what I just said. Because God has a passion for people's souls, He will release His supernatural power to revitalize lives, to revitalize hopes, to revitalize destiny, to revitalize purpose, just as Pastor Greta was talking about several weeks ago. God is going to do that in our midst, is doing that currently. Ezekiel provides for you and me insights that allow us to be reinvigorated by the Spirit of the Lord. And so I want to take you through some things that I've noticed as I keep reading these 14 verses. And the first is this, that there is an invasion of God's supernatural power. God does not need your permission to move in your life. Let's get that clear, folks. Some of you, you have you've got your smartphone, you've got your smart TV, you've got your smart computer, you've got smart this and smart that, but in the spirit, you're dumb. And God is saying, we have replaced the Word of God with everything smart, but that is the smartest of all your smart compliances. It's the Word of God. And we spend more time on ourselves and on our smart TVs than we do going to the smartest book of the world, and that's the Word of God. And God wants to have an invasion in our lives. And He wants us to be attuned. And He wants us to hear what the Spirit's saying. And He wants us to dive into it. And that's what He did with Ezekiel. The Holy Spirit invaded. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. There was a recognition that God had invaded his space. There was a recognition that God had invaded his comfort zone. There's an invasion and a recognition that he was about to embark upon a journey that he wasn't prepared for. And where did he lead him? Into the valley of dry bones. I don't know about you, but I don't like valley experiences. I'm more of a mountain guy type of guy. And so are most of you. But can I tell you, we've been in the valley over this last 2 years. And it just isn't giving up. It's just getting more intense. And God's saying, in the intensity of your pain, in the intensity of your turmoil, in the intensity of your brokenness, my hand is resting upon you. Embrace it. Welcome it. And yes, I'm going to lead you in places that are uncomfortable. And so he leads them into the valley. But the thing I love about the valley is that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear any evil, for he is with us. His rod, his staff, they what? They comfort us in the valley. They comfort us in the valley. And I'm speaking to Joy, and I'm saying to you today, wherever you are in the valley, you're going to get through the valley. Whatever's holding you still in the valley, you're going to walk through that valley. You're going to be different. You're going to look different. You're going to act different. You're going to behave different. You're going to relate different. You're going to call on the name of the Lord. You're going to rise up from death. You're going to rise up from desolation. You're going to rise up and be revitalized in spirit. That's what's going to happen in the valley. I'm trying to. The Spirit was purposed. The Spirit was active. The Spirit knew exactly who, when, and who He could depend on. And the Spirit of God is in this place this morning. And there are things that need to be accomplished that only through your spiritual gift and only through your calling and only through your destiny and only through what God has personally brought you through can you be the one to be used. And where He would declare, oh son of God, oh daughter of God, oh child of mine, rise up in this hour. Who's sitting here today as a son or daughter? Who is here that's a son or daughter? And if you're not, you'll get a chance to become a son or daughter. He said, oh, son of man. A typology of Christ. Oh, son of man. Jesus called Himself that. Now God is calling Ezekiel this. Why? Because Ezekiel's come to bring resurrection life to a nation that's lost their way with God. Sounds like a familiar nation to me. And he wanted Ezekiel to be impacted by the spiritual depravity. You see, we think that once we've had enough of being in the valley, that God has to respond to our cry. I'm finished. Yo. I've prayed. I fasted. I'm believing. But what did he do? He had him, watch. He had him walking through the valley, back and forth. He wanted him to smell death. He wanted him to sense death. He wanted him to understand that choices had been made not to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, to turn their backs on the word of the Lord, and to actually be so caught up in the society of the day, in the philosophy of the day, and all the technicalities that Babylon had to offer, they lost their way in God. And he kept him in the valley. You stay here. Because you're going to be transformed in this valley. You will never be the same, Ezekiel. An invasion of God in his heart. An invasion of God in his spirit. An invasion of God in the calling of God. An invasion of God to actually define his destiny. How did he define it? Prophesy, son of man. And God has something specific for each of you today. Not just me. For each of us today. If we will hear the voice of the Lord and respond with a willing heart, God is saying to you, he says, I've deposited this. I've worked out this. I deliver you from that. You used to be this, and now you're this. And I remember this. But I look at you now. Amen? And he's saying, I've come. And I'm invading your space. Come on, work with me. Wake up, folks. Well, Pastor will be over this for, you know, he gets a little hyper once a year. No. This is the word of the Lord for Joy. God wants to take you to the valley and show you someone who needs to be delivered and set free from hopelessness. spiritual dryness and the lack of vitality. I remember years ago, I had the opportunity to lead a ministry team, and we did SHAPE, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, life experiences. And after that whole class, we would bring people into what we called at that time what types of interviews, personal interviews. And they would come to us and sit with us. And we flipped SHAPE when they came into the interview. And instead of dealing with all the things they wanted to talk about, we talked about the things they didn't want to talk about. Because we understood as a team that God often will use life experience. He will actually use the things that He's given you the abilities to do and the talents He's given you to do. And He'll use your personality and He'll use that passion long before you even discovered your spiritual gifts. He'll use those things to actually get you to try out your spiritual gifts and discover your spiritual gifts. So we realized as we were working with people and we were doing our one-on-ones that we needed to start with, where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? Where did you work? And then what have been the most hurtful experiences in your life? And I remember this very godly lady, beautiful woman of God, came in for her interview with me. We called them consultations back then. She came for a consultation, and I could tell something was in the midst, but I didn't quite understand what was happening. And I could tell that the hand of the Lord was rested upon me. But I could tell something of God was happening in her. And so we began our journey in this consultation. And I could tell it was a safe space. She felt safe and I felt safe. And we began to communicate and she said, whoa, I need to talk. Can I talk to you about something? I said, sure. And she began to just weep profusely. She said, I haven't told anybody about this. I was scared because I didn't know what was about to be spoken. And then I felt a caution from the Holy Spirit to say, remain open and compassionate and empathetic. She began to share her story and how when she was a young teenager, she had an abortion. She waited for my response. My heart was broken for her. And I asked her, have you not shared this with your husband? She said, no. Shame was all over her at that point. And I said, well, I know why you're here. God wants to remove that shame from your life. God wants to place His hand on that area of your heart and heal that. And so, just out of obedience, we just bowed our hearts and began to pray, and the Spirit of God moved. And there was warfare. You could sense it. And there was a clanging and a crashing in the Spirit. And it was the enemy holding on to shame and guilt in her and wouldn't let her go. And then the spirit of condemnation just was all over her. And I'm telling you, I was a warrior that day. You think I'm 5'10"? I became 7'9" in the spirit. And he was messing around with this woman for all these years. She had a powerful testimony. She had a great marriage. And God wanted to deliver her so she could help young women. That's what he wanted for her. And that she would just be free within herself and healed. And the Spirit came into that office, and that woman was transformed right before my very eyes. Her whole spirit, her whole countenance, the joy of the Lord just filled her up. And she just thanked the Lord. She didn't thank me. She thanked the Lord for meeting her that day. That was just a shape consultation. I was just minding my business, doing what I was told to do by the senior pastor. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I did obey the senior pastor, by the way. And so I'm encouraging you. How is God shaping your life today? that when the Spirit and the hand of God moves on you and begins to speak and direct you through the valley of the shadow of death, what will be your response? Well, I want to talk about that. I look at verses 4 and 9 and 12, and I see in verse 4, then he said to me, and prophesied. Did he not say that? Then he said to me, prophesy. And then he goes to verse 9 and he says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. And then he said to me in verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Then he said to me, you see, we're so busy. We live such complicated lives. We have our agendas and our calendars are so full. There's no room that if God said to you, God said to him, we wouldn't hear it. There's things right now that he actually wants to speak to you alone. And you've been waiting, and you've been hoping, and you've been dry, and you've been brittle in your own spirit. And God says, won't you slow down? Won't you get off the fast track of life? Won't you just wait in my presence? Won't you come and sit and bask in the word of the Lord and let my spirit like revive your heart? So what he's speaking to me. There was an invitation that was granted to Ezekiel. There's an invitation to activate God's supernatural power. And the Spirit is stirring Ezekiel's spiritual gifts. Well, just like you and I, his was prophecy. His was discernment. His was faith. That's what was acting in this in these 14 verses. Those were the spiritual gifts that God was stirring. And he wants to stir your spiritual gifts this holiday season. There are things that only you can speak into other people's lives. Just like that woman who came to my office. Why did she feel she could share something so that she had carried for years and didn't even share with somebody else? Because she felt safe. And you may be that safe person for somebody else. Don't sit here thinking this is all about people who are just like called into ministry. We're all in ministry. We all know the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's not for a few chosen and frozen. It's for all. A passion for souls is for all. Go, all of you, and preach to all the nations. That's what he says. At least according to the Bible I read. Ezekiel was invited to activate his spiritual gifts by, what did he have to do? So he responded to the word of the Lord. We see, then he said to me, then in verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy, then he said to me, and then he gets personal in verse 11, son of man. So he's not only talking to you because he's only interested in what you can do. He's talking to you personally because he has a personal relationship with you alone. And he's saying, there's no one like you in the back row that can do what I need to do right now. There's nobody who has the heart like you in the back row. And God's saying, I want to use that heart right now. There's nobody like you in the back right there who has a spirit that's so gentle and kind. There's nobody like you two in the back who can really shake things up and get people to do what they're supposed to be doing. You two ladies in the back. He's saying that today. He's saying to you, oh my child, I've got something just for you to do. The thing is, when we hear the word of the Lord, we're not quite sure if it's for us. And one of the tricks of the enemy is to cause us to be double-minded. That's not for me. That can't be for me. If God, well, God knows what I'm like. That's exactly when he'll use you. There's a rattling going on in you right now. And he's shifting and he's moving. Even as I'm speaking, some of you are like, I can see you squirming and I like it. I really like it. I haven't seen this squirming for a while. And it's really exciting up here to see it happening. Because I know God's shifting, moving, rattling, and bone upon bone is very uncomfortable. There was an invitation to activate, and God is inviting you to activate the call of God upon your life. He's inviting you to activate your spiritual gifts. He's asking you that when the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord comes upon you, that you do what you were asked to do. Don't push it off on somebody else. Don't make excuses. Don't reason away. A lot of our dryness and a lot of our unsettledness and a lot of our weariness comes because we don't soak and we don't receive and we can't be revitalized. So we keep moving in our own strength and we keep moving in our own ability. And God's saying, slow down. Take some time here. Get your head around this. I'm not asking for it today. We're in the 37th chapter. You hear me? A lot was happening before this. Tons was going on. Vision after vision, miracle after miracle. This is one of many, right? So you have to be careful. There's a time allotment. Are you hearing me? But when he says, I'm inviting you, don't close your door. What does he say? He stands at the door and he knocks. I'm banging. But some of you have been hearing the bang on the door. And you're just like, not right now. Not ready for this. Leave me alone. And he's saying, you are the one. Amen? I love when I hear the rattling sound of the Spirit, because it's an indication that God's supernatural power is released now. There's this anticipation in my heart that God would do something that I have not experienced in my walk with him yet. How about you? How about you? Do you want the same old, same old? You'll get the, if you do the same thing, you'll get the same result. This is a new day, Joy. If you think that we went through 8 weeks of forgiveness just to actually have a series to preach on, really? Do you know how hard that was? Do you think God wasn't after something? Do you think that God spoke to us about the persecuted church? And where we are, he is there with us for no reason? Do you think this fall season is just because we had to fill the pulpit with different speakers? Those were all hand-selected by God, by the way. That's evident to me. Even from last week's word on the case for unity. There is a whole theme of God moving and rattling and getting us ready. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up back up here. I'm going to preach this next week as well. And we're going to sing that song, Rattling. Amen. We got to do it. And we got to mean business when we sing this, folks. And we better ask God. God, I'm giving you permission to invade my spirit right now. And I'm ready for you to invite me to activate my spiritual gifts. And next week, I'm going to be talking about the infusion of the Holy Spirit. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you about an instantaneous obedience. And then next week, I'm going to be talking to you about an inspired moment in the now. I'm ready for an inspired moment in the now. I am so tired of what used to be. I'm so tired of being in a desolate place spiritually. I'm saying, Lord, wake me up and shake and rattle and move me around, I pray. Amen? Let's stand in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.